Good Thursday afternoon, and welcome to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Rhonda Matthews, home extension agent. Now coming to you live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are here with Rhonda Matthews. She is the county extension agent from Clemson University. How you doing today, Rhonda?
Doing great and excited to be here. Thanks a million for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you do a lot of things around the community. You write a column for the newspaper, Around the Table.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You write a magazine article, Eat Right.
I do.
All right. And every few months it says you're on TV on the Peggy Denny Show.
Guilty as charged.
Well, that's great. So you are out there in the community. Today we're going to be talking about some of the aspects of canning and gardening and all this type of things that are going on. There seems to be a big resurgence. Is that right?
It is huge these days. I have had the privilege this past summer. Our program team at Clemson, the other agents that do what I do, the home economist, so to speak, we were lucky enough to secure a grant from the South Carolina Department of Agriculture, and we spent the majority of our summer out there teaching canning classes. And
wow.
It kept us hopping. Almost every single one of us devoted our entire summer to teaching canning classes. So
do you have a lot in your pantry?
I do. I've made a serious dent in it already. Yeah.
Well, we were talking before the show. You should have brought some samples, and we could have been tasting samples here.
I know. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm selfish that way, I guess.
I guess so. But, you know, when you were growing up, what did you want to be?
Well, I know. You asked me this a while ago. This is embarrassing. I actually wanted to be a missionary, and everyone else told me that I was going to wind up being a teacher. But oddly enough, you know, I guess a county agent is kind of somewhere in that happy medium. I met in the middle being a county agent. So it really is. You're out there doing good work, but you're teaching all at the same time. So
and counseling sometime, I guess.
A little bit, yeah. Yep, you betcha.
Well, you said you went to, let's see, where did you graduate, your undergraduate?
Undergraduate is from the University of Georgia. That's a home ec degree, Family and Consumer Sciences in Education. So I started out my official professional career as a home ec teacher, and then my graduate degree is in Community Agency Counseling from Clemson.
From Clemson. Community Agency Counseling.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this sounds great. Well, I know we want to talk a lot about what is happening with food. And, of course, one of the things I wanted to ask you, Rhonda, is are people canning the same type of food today as they did 20 years ago?
Some of them are and some of them are not. We've got lots of folks that are out there still planting their gardens, and they're planting exactly what they've always done, you know, the tomatoes and the green beans and the corn and the cucumbers, and they're tried and true to exactly what they've always planted. And we've got other folks that have just started wading in the water, so to speak, and they're, you know, they might have a few tomato plants on the back porch, on their deck, and, you know, they've just started getting their feet wet. And we've got other folks that have just got some herbs in a pot, and that's as far as they've gotten. We've got other folks that have jumped in neck deep, and, you know, they planted this gigantic garden, and now they're wondering, holy cow, what am I going to do with all this stuff? You've got all these folks that are out there with all this interest, and they're coming and they're seeking out this this update, these educational classes, wanting to make sure of a couple of different things. They want to make sure, am I still canning correctly? Because science changes over the course of the years, just like bacteria changes over the course of the years. That food safety aspect needs to be updated. So these folks understand that. They want to make sure, am I still doing it right? So we've got folks coming and making, they just want that refresher course. And then we've got folks that want to come and find out, how do I can, because I'm interested in doing those recipes more than just putting tomatoes in a jar and putting green beans in a jar. I want to turn all my tomatoes into peach salsa, you know, that interesting concoction that not everybody would want to have on their shelf and turn it all into just that, but boy, they do. You know, I want to turn all my okra into okra pickles. You know, they're really interested in those unusual things. So I've got just an array of folks coming out wanting to learn some canning skills.
Well, that's terrific. Now, you know, I guess the reason for all of this is we are very concerned about our food source and trying to save money.
You bet. We've got folks that are really interested in going green. That's a really big push right now. The folks are really interested in recycling. They're really interested in knowing where their food comes from and being able to lay their hand on every single step of the process, and such is the resurgence in gardening. We've also, a lot of it, I'm tempted to say, is due to the economy. And folks have realized that, you know, with the increasing cost of groceries in the grocery store, it actually is a lot less expensive to buy a packet of seeds and put the effort into raising up that packet of seeds and then planting the garden from that and tending that garden and eventually harvesting the garden and eating your groceries from that garden. Yes, it's more effort, but the money outlay is not as much as what you would pay in the grocery store. It's the energy outlay that's more, but folks realize I'm probably willing to do that versus the monetary outlay. So it's probably a double-sided thing there.
Well, that's terrific. It's good to see that, you know, because gardening was kind of out for years.
It was, and so was canning, but, you know, there was a long time there that, you know, you just had that core group of folks that were diehard canners, and boy, they were going to garden and can no matter what. And God love them, because, you know, I'm one of them. There is nothing, and I mean that, there is nothing like home canned tomatoes. And folks that put up those tomatoes every year, you know exactly what I'm talking about. there's just nothing like it.
So once you taste it, you don't want to go back.
Yeah, once you go there, you don't ever go back.
That's right.
I'm sorry. But, I mean, you know, I was that kid that was, you know, when we left church on Sunday morning, and we always went to my grandmother's house, and part of Sunday lunch at my grandmother's table, I'll never forget her, every single Sunday, she popped the top off of a quart of whole tomatoes that she had canned. You can imagine 52 quarts of tomatoes. And anybody that cans understands what it takes to put up 52 quarts of tomatoes. And there was always more. That was just the ones for Sunday lunch. But they were always there on that table. And I remember distinctly the flavor of those whole tomatoes. And that was part of our lunch. There was nothing fancy about it. These were humble people. But that was part of what we ate every single Sunday, was those whole canned tomatoes. And I missed that flavor in my life for the longest time until I became an adult and started canning. And then I remembered. It was like a flood of memories came back to me. It's like, holy cow, those are the tomatoes from my Granny Graham's table. And it's like, Rhonda, how did you go all those years and forget that was, you dumb. How did you let that leave your life? I couldn't believe that I would allow that to happen. But that quality that you can get from canning is unparalleled. You cannot touch it with anything that comes out of the grocery store.
It is amazing how we can remember a taste, isn't it?
I'm telling you, those culinary traditions are phenomenal, and they will live with you your entire life. And to let that leave your family is a crying shame. You know, you can put up tomatoes. You can put up a canner load of tomatoes in 3 hours. One morning on a Saturday afternoon, one Saturday morning, you can put up, you know, a canner load of tomatoes and have them there, and that will last you probably, 3 months or better. It's 3 hours of investment. If you do that, you know, twice a year, your family's going to hold on to that culinary tradition. And that memory is going to last your children forever. Teach your children those skills. That is a memory that lasts a lifetime. Those tastes linger in your memory, so don't let that slip away.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. When we come back, we are talking to Rhonda Matthews with the Clemson University County Extension Office. If you've got a question for Rhonda, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of me. This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
You're listening to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Rhonda Matthews, County Extension Agent for Clemson University. Now coming to you live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm getting hungry just talking about all the veggies and whatnot. You know, I invited you here for Meet Me at the Diner, and you probably were saying, where's the food, Ann? There's no food here. I'm sorry, Rhonda. But we are talking about things. You know, you told me about a week ago you had a Farm City event for third graders over there in Abbeville.
We did. I coordinated that for those third graders. And, oh, boy, was that ever the funnest thing. And we do it every year for those third graders. And
why?
The whole intent of that is to help those kids understand and better appreciate exactly where that food comes from. You know, so many of them, they just, even though we're a fairly rural county in Abbeville, they have never been to a farm. They have never been next to a farm animal, and they have never actually talked to a farmer.
So, you said a real farmer.
A real farmer, that's right. So, and we've got all of that in Abbeville. So what we do is at the extension office, which has a big livestock arena behind it, we bring every single third grader in the county out to the office, and the school district is great to work with us. And we bring everything I just said out to the extension office. And we cover, if it has to do with ag in Abbeville, we bring it out to the office. So you've got beef cattle and dairy cattle and goats and horses and pigs. And we even talk about things like nuisance wildlife on the farm and how to use ATVs on the farm and tractors. And we hit almost every aspect of anything that is ag-related. And those kids go through all that, and they get to lay hands-on, and it's all five senses. It's almost like sensory overload. It's seeing, smelling, touching, hearing. Those kids are in awe, and they are totally wowed of, you know, if you've never been up next to a dairy cow and understand just how big a dairy cow is, and if you've never heard one of those animals really make the sounds they can really make,
right?
And you know, when they really do move the way they really move, not the TV move.
Right.
That's a loud sound, and that's a big animal. And those kids it's an eye-opening experience. And they get to talk to those farmers and understand the effort that goes in on the farm and how that product is really produced and where that food really does originate and how it winds up on their table. I mean, it's not a little bit of effort that goes into making our groceries every day. That is a big deal to be a farmer, and it's a lot of appreciation that should be, you know, given to those farmers. So we bring those kids out to help them understand McDonald's gets that food from somewhere. It doesn't magically appear out of the drive-thru window, you know? So, you know.
Yes, it does, Rhonda.
I know. We all love a good chicken McNugget, but by gum, you know, there's a lot of work to being a poultry farmer, and there's a lot of work to being a dairy farmer and a beef farmer, and we've got all those.
And they're living creatures. And they're living creatures. That's the other thing, yeah.
Yeah, and we get all kinds of amazing answers from a third grader. Of course, you know, out of the lips of an 8-year-old, you'll get the most amazing questions like, well, what did you name that animal? Well, you don't really name those animals. They're not pets. And that's a common misconception. So, you know, talking to a farmer helps them, you know, get that grip on reality of the difference between your pet at home and what a commodity animal is. Yeah, and so we kind of help them to grasp all that and kind of work through that system of this is really where your food comes from. So they're amazed, I think, more than anything at the size of the animal and the smell of the animal because
they've never smelled that smell before.
No, you know, you can give your dog a bath. You don't really give a cow.
Yeah, and if anyone lets loose there, you got a mess there.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's not really a pooper scooper for a cat.
Well, if there was, it'd be a big one.
Well, you know, technically, I guess you do have them, but it's not like the ones for the dogs. So.
You know, and it's different than the horses. You know, they probably, a lot of them have a recognition of horses because a lot of them do horses and everything, but a lot different. And, you know, that's something that 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, everybody had been to a farm.
That's right.
Now we don't have that experience
so
much.
That's right. That's right. So we're so appreciative of the school district for working with us, and the teachers are great to work with as well, and it really is an amazingly valuable component for those kids to get out there and really understand, you know, here's your food source. And Abbeville's really lucky to have that many full-time farmers in our county, and we're really appreciative to our ag community. That event, people are kind of shocked that when they say, how many folks help you do this? And I'll tell them, gosh, we've probably got 100 volunteers that come out that day and help us do that. And it's really good when you can look to your ag community and get 100 people to come out on a work day and give you
their
whole day. Yeah, that's a hats off kind of thing when you can say that about your ag community. So,
well, what about 4-H'ers? Did you have 4-H'ers? I imagine that's a great way to get...
We did. We had 4-H there. We had FFA there. We had full-time farmers there. We had county extension agents there. We had other agencies there. We had the whole spectrum of agriculture there. So we really tried to hit on all the bases, and it was just we were really pleased with how things turned out.
Well, that's terrific.
Yeah.
That's great. Things like that, you know, you can't replace those as memory and sensory like you're talking about in a kid's mind.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. Well, we are going to be talking about canning after we come back from the news, but other things going on. Now, as far as canning, though, you've been working this summer with different groups.
Oh, yeah.
Healthy neighborhoods, community gardens. Let's talk a little bit about that.
That's right. Here in Greenwood, we did at least two programs with Tony Abel and the Healthy Neighborhoods Coalition, and had a great turnout. Did those programs up at the federal building uptown, and loved working with them. All the programs that we did were, we helped the folks understand the science of canning, and then we moved right into the kitchen, and we literally, it was learned by doing. Brought the product, brought the equipment, rolled up your sleeves, and got in there and went to work. And everybody at the end of the program went home with something good to eat. They went home with a canned, the food that had been canned.
So, if I did that, I'd have to take it home and put it on the shelf and just show people, see, I did this.
Your trophy.
We can't eat it. Yeah, trophy.
Your trophy.
Exactly.
No. But we worked with the community gardeners, and every county that I went to and ran those programs, we had a good turnout, and it was just really a joy to teach those classes. I was so excited everywhere I went. We had folks drive all the way across the state to take those classes here. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, you wouldn't. I was shocked. I mean, I would have folks drive in from all over. It fit their schedule, they said. This fits my schedule. So they would drive across the state to take the class.
Well, that just shows the interest that there is there.
I'm telling you.
You know, one of the things that is an issue out there, and we keep hearing it in the food source, like right now they're talking about, what is it, listeria on the cantaloupes, and we've had some botulism and this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
This really is a concern with our food system.
It is. As far as the food safety side of it goes, a little due diligence goes a long, long way. Just being smart about your food and being smart about how you handle your food really does keep your family safer than you would have ever imagined.
Cutting boards, that's one of the big ones, I understand.
You bet. Yeah. Handling it wisely, you know, it's more than just chopping something on your board and
like
throwing
chicken.
It over in the sink. Yeah, I mean,
and then
you know,
rinsing it off. That doesn't really work.
Absolutely not. I mean, if you're going to cut meat, you wash, rinse, sanitize. And a sanitizing solution would be either a commercial sanitizing solution that you bought that actually says it's a sanitizing solution, or you can make it from 1 teaspoon of bleach, and I'm talking about plain old bleach, the El Cheapo kind, not the concentrated kind, but 1 teaspoon of bleach in 1/4 of water, and there you go. That's the cheapest version of sanitizer you'll ever get, and it is as effective as any high-dollar product that's out there on the market.
So you're going to save us money today, too, right?
You bet. Yeah. Well, that's part of my job.
Well, this is great. This is great. When we come back after hearing South Carolina news, we are going to be talking with Rhonda Matthews. We're going to be talking canning, the different types, what people are doing, more about this. So you got to stay tuned right here on WLMA. Hey, if you've got a question for Rhonda, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be back after the news.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Rhonda Matthews, County Extension Agent and University. And now coming to you live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are back here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. We're having a good time here with Rhonda Matthews. We are just going to be talking about canning now and what it exactly takes to can things. But one of the things I do want you to know is that price of gold, before we get started, Rhonda, we buy gold here at Sharp Facets Gallery every day. Price of gold right now is, I think, staying steady right around $1,640. So if you've got gold, if you've got diamonds, you know where to come. Sharp Facets Gallery right here on the 72 bypass. So we're going to talk a little bit about canning. And we had one gal call in, Tabitha Goings. Where do these classes happen, and is there a website?
There is. Actually, when I teach those classes, I can do it a couple of ways. I have taught them at our extension offices, and I have gone to where the people request me to go to. So
okay.
That I am that flexible. If you want me to come to you, I can do it. Or if
but
you want to come
class
to me,
group.
I do. I need a group. I need a
How
group.
How many in a group do you actually need
I like to
do
to have,
it?
I like to have anywhere from 6 to 10 is the sweet spot, so
okay.
to speak. Yeah, if it gets really big, it's hard for everybody to, you know, to get in the kitchen and work. If
to get a trophy?
Yeah, to get their trophy.
Yes.
But, you know, 6 to 10 is primo. But if you've got a place that you want me to come to and teach the class, let me know. Otherwise, you're more than welcome to come to one of our offices, and we'll get you taken care of. Our website is typically where we can post the information, and that would be www.clemson.edu/Abbeville is where I am located most of the time. But if you replace the county of Abbeville with any county in South Carolina, that will take you to that county's extension office website. So check those county extension websites, and it will let you know if there is a canning class running there. And if you want one specifically for your group and want me to come to you, you let me know. We'll get you on the calendar.
And that's that. Now, where do they call you at, Rhonda?
Call me in Abbeville's the easiest way, and that's 446-2276, extension 112 will ring straight to my desk, or you can email me, and that's Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A, at clemson.edu. So any of that will get you through to me. We'll
All
get
right.
you taken care
so
of.
So if you'd like to do, whether it's a church group or just a group of friends that you get together and say,
yep.
we've got these vegetables, you know, one of the things we hadn't talked about yet is so many people are going to the farmer's market
yep.
and not actually growing it themselves, but they buying huge quantities
yep.
and then taking it home and doing it.
You bet. And we've seen that. You know, I've worked with the folks up at the Abbeville market, and we've seen that last year and this year. It's getting more prevalent where folks will literally buy a box or more of product, and so much that we'll have to help them carry it out to the car, and we love that.
Absolutely.
We love that. We love to have to help carry out to the car, so, or out to the truck. So, it is more prevalent now for folks to visit that farmer's market and just purchase directly from those farmers. That's a great thing.
Well, I mean, I think that, and, you know, it has to make the farmers feel good, because for so many years, it just wasn't that popular.
Mm-hmm.
And now to see that resurgence for the farmer, that mm-hmm. has to be a good feeling for them, too.
You betcha.
You betcha. Where are you from? Seems like you're from the Midwest.
No.
All right. But we wanted to talk somewhat about canning here. And one of the questions that I actually had for you is, you know, what are the signs? You know, so many times people bring us canned things that they've done, and, you know, you don't know how they've been preserved. How do you know whether something is good, bad, going bad? How do you know?
Well, there's always some telltale signs, obviously, of when something's going bad. If you ever see anything bubbling that shouldn't be bubbling, that's a
like
dead giveaway.
Like it's cold,
yeah.
And it's bubbling.
Yeah, exactly, and it shouldn't be. You really don't want to even open that up. You want to just go ahead and get rid of it. If it's a peculiar color and it shouldn't be that color, you probably don't want to eat that either. If you open it up and it has an odd texture to it, if it's slick and it shouldn't be slick, don't eat that. Any of those things, if the odor from that product is off in any way, don't eat that. If it's got something growing on top of it once you get the lid off of it,
don't eat that.
Don't eat that. Those are all the dead giveaways, you know, of something has gone wrong somewhere in the process. And sometimes what will happen is folks will bring you something and they'll say, I want to share this with you. And you don't want to, you know, be overtly rude to them and say, there's no way I'm eating that because I don't know how you fixed it or I don't know how you processed it. One of the easy ways to get around that is say, this looks great. Can I have the recipe that you used? Will you share the recipe with me for how you prepared this? I do that a lot, you know, because I am interested. I always want to know, how did you fix this? I'm a recipe hound. I collect that stuff all the time. So I'm always on the hunt for that kind of stuff. And I am. I'm genuinely interested. How did you fix this? I do want to know.
But it's also a good way.
It is a good way to find out. You tactfully want to know, did you skip any steps that might need to be in there? And, you know, if they did leave out something that should be in there in terms of safety, you know, go ahead and take it. You don't want to be ugly to them. But, you know, when you get home, you might want to sit that one to the side. So, you know, be smart about what you feed your family.
That's true. Now, how long do things last that have been canned?
Well, you know, here's the one that raises eyebrows. In terms of safety, if the recipe you used and is an up-to-date, scientifically tested recipe, and you followed it exactly the way it was written, that product inside that jar will last indefinitely. In terms of safety.
Okay.
Now, I'm not giving you any bets on quality after probably, yeah. The quality of that, you know, after about a year and a half, you're going to start to see some diminishment of quality. So, you know, those green beans might be a little bit better in green bean casserole after a couple of years. But, you know, in terms of safety, they're fine.
Wow, so I didn't realize that.
Yeah, as long as you store them well and the container isn't damaged in any way or anything like that, and you use the right methods to process with, and the recipe is a scientifically researched recipe, there's no reason to doubt the safety of that product inside that jar.
Well, how about canned stuff that you buy off the grocery counter? It always has a date that it, you know, best purchased by thus and so date.
That's right, and it's the same situation. As long as the integrity of the container has not been compromised, no rust, no bulging, no dents, nothing like that, and, you know, there's no reason to doubt the safety inside, except it's the quality that's gonna be compromised. You know, after a while, you open it up. These just aren't as tasty as the ones I bought, you know, a month ago.
So those would do better, like in a soup,
yeah,
shall we say, rather
you
than
bet.
Putting green beans on the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Now I'm not going to tell you to hold your green beans on the shelf for 10 years.
You haven't canned that much, so you have that many left over.
Exactly. You know, don't go crazy with that. But, you know, that's the thing of it. You know, it there's no reason to think that, you know, as long as your container is safe and as long as you follow the directions, they'll hold.
Wow, that's great. Now, what about, you know, a lot of people have Granny's tomatoes that,
yeah,
you know, you were talking about, Granny's tomatoes. Can you use the same recipe that you used 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
That actually runs into, that's a perfect segue for what we were just talking about. The recipes that our grandmothers used, and a lot of us learned to can from our grandmothers and our mothers, and the methods that they used to can with have actually been updated. Their recipes were delicious, and I was raised on my grandmother's canning, and I remember those flavors fondly. But the way my grandmother canned is not the method that I used to can, and there's a distinct reason for that. There have been scientific tests put into play to make sure that bacteria has been killed, and you know, bacteria changes and mutates a lot quicker than other things in nature. So we need to make sure that we're safely canning. In order to safely can your food, there must be a heat process in place, either a boiling water bath or a pressure canning treatment. And a lot of times when our grandmothers were canning, that step was skipped. A lot of times they would just put hot food into a hot jar and put the lid on,
and then they were done.
Mm-hmm. And if that's the way you learn to can, I encourage you to get updated in your canning methods. I'll be glad to teach you in a class. But, you know, there's one more step that needs to be added, and that's a heat treatment, either a boiling water bath or a canning, depending, or a pressure canning, depending on what type of product you're canning. You got to make sure that you get the lingering bacteria that's in that product killed.
All right. Well, listen, we are here with Rhonda Matthews. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days.
What does WLNA stand?
You're listening to Meet Me at the Diner
for?
With host
well,
Ann Ellis. Today's special
wow,
guest is Rhonda Matthews, County
again,
Extension Agent
right
for
here,
Clemson University. Now coming to you live from
Greenwood
Sharp Bassett's Gallery,
News
here
Talk
is your host,
radio station.
Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right, Brian. We are right here with Rhonda Matthews. We're having a good time talking about food here today. What an appropriate subject right here on Meet Me at the Diner. We're talking about canning. We wanted to spend a little bit of time, Rhonda, talking about the different types of canning there are and why we have different types of canning. But I was also thinking, you know, it used to be, I think, a woman's job to do all the canning.
No, not so.
Well, that's what I was just thinking.
Oh, my word, yeah. When I taught the classes this summer, I had half men, half women. And I almost, like you said, I almost anticipated when we started classes that I was going to have all ladies in the classes. No, not at all.
With little aprons and everything.
Not at all. No. At least half the class was men every single time, I'm not going to say every single time, but at the end of the summer, I looked back, and it was about half guys, half ladies, and we hit the whole age spectrum, all the way from students to retirees. So I would have never thought any of that, but, yeah, the whole population.
The whole population is getting into canning. All right, let's talk about the different types of canning and why you have to can certain things certain ways.
Why do you can what you can the way you can?
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. You said that before.
Yeah. Well, the whole reasoning behind it is certain bacteria grow in certain conditions. And items like fruits and pickles that are swimming in vinegar are considered high acid, have a higher acid level. We don't worry quite as much about products like that because in nature, it's just harder bacteria to grow in a higher acid environment. Not a whole lot of things like to live in a higher acid level. So with that that consideration, we can pretty much kill anything that's going to live there. We call those spoiler bacteria, molds, yeast, things like that. We can kill those kind of things at about 212 degrees, boiling water temperatures. So for those products, we process them in a boiling water bath. the easiest way to have a boiling water bath or a boiling water canner is a really big stock pot with a rack in the bottom. And it needs to be deep enough so that your jars are covered by an inch of water. And it has a lid. That's as fancy as it gets.
So how much does something like that cost?
If you've got a pot at your house that fits that qualification, there you go. You don't even need to go buy anything.
Do you have to put a rack inside?
If you've got a cake rack, there you go.
Oh, okay. Just set them on a cake rack.
Oh, you don't need to get fancy. Yeah, if you've got a cake rack, done. If you don't even need that. You can take the band from the extra bands that you use from the two-piece lids that you use for canning. If you've got extra of those, drop them down in there and make a homemade rack.
Oh, okay.
Anything to elevate the jars off the bottom of the pot. The thing is, you don't want the jars sitting straight on the bottom of the pot.
Now, you do have to use a special type of jar, though. You can't just use any old jar.
Correct. You want a real canning jar. No mayonnaise jars, no ragu spaghetti sauce jars, no used jam jars, none of that. You got to have a true blue canning jar with a two-piece lid. Well, those are the ones that are designed specifically for those two-piece lids. And those two-piece top and the band that goes around them are specific for canning. They have that gumminess on the underside that will make that seal. They allow the air to escape when the heating starts. And then once the vacuum seal has taken, that's going to adhere, and it's not going to turn loose. There's not anything else like that that's out there on the market that's going to do the job. That's the one thing that's out there that'll do it for you.
Now, there used to be you could put, like, paraffin. Why do they still do that now?
Yep, we don't recommend that anymore.
Okay.
We don't recommend it anymore. So the only thing that we're going to recommend for any kind of canning is going to be a true blue canning jar. The real deal. Now, doesn't matter to us what brand you're using, as long as it can be Ball, Kerr, Golden Harvest, any of those would be good ones. And then a true two-piece canning lid. So that's what we're going to recommend. So that's one type of canning. And the high-acid foods get the boiling water bath, and you use that boiling water bath canner to do that. The other variety of foods is going to be your lower acid foods. That's going to be your vegetables and your meats. And this, of course, would be where your soup mixtures fall. A lot of folks like to do tomatoes and beans and corn and mix that together and get like a vegetable soup base started. Mix that up, and then all they have to do is pull that out and get the soup halfway going, you know, in the wintertime.
Sure.
That's a yum-yum thing. So,
yum, okay,
oh,
I like
boy,
that.
Yeah, I know. So if you're going to do those lower acid products, you're going to need a pressure canner. The reason is there's a different type of bacteria that you have to be concerned with your lower acid products, and that would be Clostridium botulinum. The problem with Clostridium botulinum is it reproduces by spore, and that little thing is like a suit of armor. You cannot kill it at 212 degrees. Now, how long and how hard you boil water, it's only going to reach 212 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to get it hotter is to put it under pressure. Well, you need to go to 240 degrees to kill Clostridium botulinum. So we've got to use a pressure canner to get rid of that one, because Clostridium botulinum loves a low-acid environment, and it loves to be in an oxygen-free environment, and it likes a little moisture, and it likes shelf temperature. And those four descriptions...
All those that you're talking about.
That's a perfect scenario for the inside of a nice jar of green beans or a nice jar of vegetable soup. So, we really don't want one of those little spores to open up and germinate, because it's the toxin from that germination that's so... Our bodies do not like that toxin at all. You know, we don't react well at all from the botulinum toxin. So killing that spore is mission number one when we're doing pressure canning. Following pressure canning correctly with low acid foods is essential. So do you need to really pressure can your green beans? Yes, you do. And I get asked that all the time. Do I really have to pressure can my green beans? Yes. Yes,
so
you
what
do.
Is it? You have to buy a special pressure cooker?
It's not a cooker.
I
get asked that all the time, too. Can I use my cooker to can in? Nope. Cookers aren't designed the same as canners. you really do need a pressure canner. And you can, believe it or not, Walmart sells canners now. Now, I'm not endorsing Walmart. You can get them from pretty much, you know, they sell them at hardware stores. You can order them online. But, you know, use a pressure canner to do pressure canning. So, and old canners are just as good as brand new canners. Now, if you have a question about your old canners, bring it to me. Let me check it out. I check out old canners all the time. Now, there are some old canners, I'm going to tell you, don't use that. Because there are some out there that aren't so safe to use. But there's plenty of them that are out there that I'm really jealous of some folks finding these things at yard sales and estate sales, because they got a bargain on these things. And these things are just a crackerjack. And they're just ticking, and they're so good. And, wow, I'm just jealous that those folks came across those things.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're wondering, is it okay, not okay, bring it on over to me. Let me check it out. And I'll be glad to say yay or nay on it for you, and I'll put your mind at rest for you.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Now, do you have to worry about a pressure cooker canner the same way you worry about a pressure cooker? I mean,
worry about it as in
exploding?
Oh, yay. I'm so glad you asked me that. Everybody wants to know. It's
going
to blow up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, if you follow the directions, no. No, it won't.
Okay.
It won't. And the new ones have all these built-in safety gadgets. There's locks on them, and it's you can't even take the lid off of them until they depressurize. It's impossible to blow one of the new ones up. Now, the older ones don't have those safety deals built into them, but if you just follow the directions, which is let them completely depressurize and, you know, pressure drops completely to zero,
You're totally safe.
Don't rush them. Don't rush them. Be patient. But, yeah, they're safe.
Wow.
Completely safe.
Well, you know what? I hate to say this, but we have run out of time. We're going to have you come back and talk about more issues.
You bet. Bring me back.
All right. We would love to have you back. Rhonda, real quick, a number to call you, maybe the one in Abbeville, so that goes directly.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at most of the time. So give me a call. It's Rhonda Matthews, 446-2276. And when it picks up, immediately hit extension 112. That rings straight to my desk, and I'll be more than glad to talk to you with any of your canning questions.
All right. Canning or setting up a time to get together with a group, that would be great. Mm-hmm. Rhonda, thanks so much for coming out today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
All right. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. We'll have a podcast posted on WLMA.net. I think we're even going to have some videos, so check it out. Next time, Rhonda's going to do a demonstration right here with us in the kitchen.
We'll be eating, yeah.
Exactly. Hey, that's great. All right, this is WLMA right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.